At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
All right, the much requested Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, are having a super kick party on Talk is Jericho today, and they're going to tell you exactly how the gimmick got started, talking about Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, working as a major part of the super popular Bullet Club in Japan, and doing it without AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Shinsuke Nakamura, who all just signed with the WWE. Young Bucks weigh in on that big raid and whether they ever thought about going to the WWE themselves. We'll also talk about their similarities to the Hardy Boys, being fired from TNA, the state of tag team wrestling today, growing up together as young wrestling fans and getting into the business together as a team. They've also got some funny stories about how they pulled off super kicking an 8-year-old kid. What? So the Young Bucks are here. Never fear, the Young Bucks are here. But you already know that if you subscribe to Talk is Jericho on iTunes and are already listening because the podcast was waiting for you on your phone. That's the benefit of subscribing. New episodes automatically delivered to the device of your choice. So you need to join the club, join the super kick party that is Talk is Jericho. Subscribe on iTunes now and then also leave some comments. 5-star rating, that helps as well. Fat Guy Ian, Bubba Garcia 86, Davey Digits 918, Kevin Thomas 81, Coy Riley, all left 5 stars and comments and subscribed to iTunes. Go leave some comments and I will give you a shout out as well. If it's a good one, if it's a bad one, I'll never talk to you again. I appreciate the feedback though, guys. Keep it coming.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
All right, we're in a fancy studio in California with the fancy Young Bucks, and I'm excited to have you guys here. The last time we met up was in a hotel lobby in Tokyo.
That's right.
Right, just this summertime, and it was really weird because WWE had a show, but all of you guys were over there at the same time.
Yeah.
Yep. We're always out there, so it was just a matter of you guys going out there, I guess,
yeah.
Especially last year. But our buddy Kevin Owens was in town. We had to take a cab to go see him?
Yeah, a $75 cab that that he never paid back.
That he never even paid
for. No, I'm just joking.
And then we also got to see our good buddy Claudio Castagnoli.
And Fergal.
Yeah.
So we got to see a bunch of our buddies.
Who else was there that day?
Man, there's a bunch.
Was maybe Ambrose was Moxley.
We didn't get to see him, but we're buddies with him too.
See, I gotta be because you guys are talking these guys' names when you knew them in ROH.
Yeah, that's right.
So Claudio is Cesaro. Fergal is Fergal's
Finn.
Still Fergal. Finn, oh, he's Finn Balor.
Right. Yeah.
I don't even know which one is which. Owens used to be Steen.
Yep, Steen.
Ambrose was Moxley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, we saw, and then I would call him Pac. But
that's right.
Oh, yep. Pac.
Yeah, he's another good buddy of ours. Yeah.
So you guys, and then once again, you got Matt and Nick Jackson. And Nick, I don't even know what your real last name is. Doesn't matter. You're the Bucks, Young Bucks, baby. But is Jackson your last name?
No, it's really Massey. But
But you have been the Jackson in the past.
Okay, cool. That's what we're called now. Is Nick and Matt. Jackson.
Okay, so that is your real the wrestling.
Yeah,
the boys call us Matt Nick Buck usually.
Matt Nick Buck,
just the Bucks.
Because you guys do look very similar.
Yeah, a lot of people think we're twins at first, and actually this guy's about 3.5 years older than me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm the elder.
The dynamic is ridiculous because it's such, and I'm saying this with totally respect, and I'm sure you guys have heard this a million times, but it's such a Hardy Boys dynamic with Jeff and Matt. Obviously, Jeff and Matt look differently, but they're very close in age, 2-3 years in age. And it's as soon as I saw you guys, even the sideburns and the ponytail having backwards, it's like, oh my gosh,
it's crazy.
Super.
When we compare our careers and just everything with them, like the first time we met them back in TNA about 2009, we told them everything that we did, and it was so like similar to their past that they just they took a liking to us right away.
Really?
Well, because we started big fans of them too. So
for sure. We started as backyarders, and so
just
did
like
they.
Did.
Yeah, just like them. We started our own promotion just like them.
Really?
Yeah.
My name is Matt, just like Matt.
I'm not Jeff. But
they had Omega.
And ours was HRW, High Risk Wrestling.
Nice.
So it was similar.
It was the same thing. I mean, I remember watching reading the books and like about Omega, and
they would make their own gear and stuff
everything. Like it was the same thing. Like, we booked the shows. Mm-hmm. Our dad helped MC. My sister would tear the tickets. You know, like,
you're kidding me.
It was a big family thing. Yeah.
Did you guys do that in response to seeing that the Hardy Boys had done it, or was
not really?
I think we heard about it, but I think if anything, it made us go, "Oh, it's possible to run your own thing."
Yeah.
I don't even know at the time. Like, did we really know too much about it?
No.
Maybe not. Later on, now that reflecting back, I'm sure it had something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe subtly or subconsciously like that.
Yeah.
So how old were you guys when you were doing this?
Oh, my God.
High risk HRW.
You were really young.
I started wrestling. Well, man, my first professional match, I think I was 13 and a half years old.
Wow.
So that was quite a while ago, 13
untrained,
years ago.
Untrained, obviously.
Well, yeah, untrained. Here's a fact. I've only been to one training seminar ever.
Really?
Yeah. He would go and train.
I did some training for a couple of years.
With
down in actually this way, Los Angeles area.
Because you guys are California boys.
Yes.
Right? SoCal.
I trained with a guy named American Wildchild. He used to be like a WCW jobber.
Okay.
He had his own company out here called Revolution Pro. And it's pretty much like what spawned the whole pro wrestling guerrilla movement.
Yeah.
It was the same guys.
Super Dragon would help as well train.
I met
him.
A lot of guys there, and I trained for a couple of years. But what I would do is I'd come home. We had our own ring that our dad helped us build, a professional ring that my dad, who's a general contractor.
He was sick of us bumping on mattresses and stuff.
So he helped us build a ring. We had carpet padding.
One of those things, like, I've been doing this for a long time. I probably wouldn't even be able to tell you how to build a ring. I mean, I know there's some posts and you need.
Yep, same here.
How do you build a ring?
Right?
He's crazy.
My dad just did all the research, I guess, online or whatever. But he built a ring that is a better ring than most rings I wrestle in. This current day.
I tell my dad this to this day. I said, that bump was so much softer than the ones we're doing nowadays. Like, what did you do?
I remember climbing up to the top and just doing, like, back sentons off the top rope.
Then again, I was 12 years old, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's the fact.
2,000 bumps ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bump card's a little bit different now.
your bump punch card.
Good
job. I would come home after I would train for a couple hours out here in L.A., and I would show Nico, listen, this is what I learned today. Mm-hmm. Here's the rolling, here's the bumps, here's hitting the ropes. And I would do the whole 3 hours, you know, of training. Again with him.
Yeah.
So I'd just show him kind of exactly like what I learned that day.
Right.
So
right.
He got his basics from me.
Okay.
So I was
trained by Matt.
I was even off and on too with my training. Like I would spend like a year doing it, and then I'm like, I think I'm ready for that. And then they wouldn't want
we
to
had a,
stop going and then come back.
We had backyard egos. we thought we were the best backyard wrestlers on the planet. We even said no to that backyard gig that the there's like a backyard wrestling VHS video. We declined it. We said no, we're too good for this.
It's something, I think it's on Netflix to this day. I think it's called The Backyard, and the guy,
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
he reached out to us and he wanted us to be on it, and I'm like, what's the pay, man? Like, even back then I was like a carny.
So but that's because, like you said, you started out did you guys have your own shows?
We started running our own shows. We became pretty popular
after he got professionally trained. Then he felt like, okay, now we could do some shows.
Right.
So who else was on the shows?
We would actually book
buddies.
pretty much our friends that came up with us.
Anybody that still works today?
Not really.
Man. Okay.
Anybody?
But we used to book a lot of high profile guys. We would bring in Chris Canyon for a big show.
No kidding.
Christopher Daniels, we would bring him in. Shannon Moore, Marty Jannetty.
What would those guys think when they showed up? I mean, was it a high class organization,
building, and we got a better ring. Like
we were drawing houses too. Like I remember when we first brought out Chris Canyon, we had 500 people.
That's crazy.
So we were like, man, this is working out. This is going.
If you could draw 500 people nowadays.
Exactly.
Business.
And this was, 11, 12 years ago or so?
Yeah.
So from then, we just thought it was working, and that we would get our experience from doing those shows and try to send our tapes from our own promotions to other promotions and try to get bookings outside of that.
And then we would make relationships with some of the guys, and like the local guys, and they'd see, oh, these guys are pretty decent. They got a good thing up here. Mm-hmm. That's how we would eventually get work, you know, down this way.
And that's how we got a relationship with Marty Jannetty, and then he really liked us because we started wearing his gear.
Oh,
and he gave us the blessing for it, actually, and said, hey, let me. So he ended up calling us every week and gave us advice over the phone for hours and upon end.
You're kidding me. Yep. Marty did. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of why we wear the stuff we wear to this day. Like one day he's just like, you guys kind of remind me of the Rockers, huh? And we're like, duh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're our favorite tag team of all time. Mm-hmm. And when he gave us his blessing, it was like, we were like, well, let's
all right, we could do it then.
Which is interesting because they were my favorite tag team of all time back when they were actually going, like, you know, 88, 89. And here we are, you know, 20, whatever the hell it is, almost 30 years later. And still your favorite tag team is the Rockers.
Yeah. Everyone says the Hardys, but we love the Hardys. Don't get us wrong. But at first, it was the Rockers.
Well, I think Matt and Jeff would probably even say the same, that the Rockers influenced them as well.
Mm-hmm. I think the Rockers, it's like my childhood. Like, I remember going to Blockbuster Video and, like, getting every single Coliseum video.
Yeah,
and then we would just watch every Rockers match. They're our favorite.
Yeah.
And I guess for a few years, like, we still watched wrestling, but we weren't, like, at the fandom that we were when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
But what brought us back to wrestling was the TLC era, which is the Hardys.
Right. Hardys, so, like, Dudleys, Edge and Christian, the great tag teams of that era.
The three that reinvented tag team wrestling, in my opinion.
For sure.
And that's what brought us back to the dance. That's what made me think, man, maybe we could do this one day. Like, this is so cool. This is so entertaining. Like, what they did with tag team wrestling was so interesting.
Yep.
So that's what really made us, I think, from being just fans, maybe we can actually be wrestlers one day.
I think so.
What kind of stuff was Marty telling you? Because, you know, obviously Shawn Michaels, for me, the greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Marty really got lost in the shuffle
there.
Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, whatever issues they had, blah, 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 blah. But as a performer, especially in those early days, Marty was much more of a package than Shawn was, and probably taught Shawn a lot of what he knows.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff would he try and help you with?
He taught us, I remember going back, because this was years ago now, but a lot of just the tandem stuff. He always told us,
double team moves.
Like be quick on the ins and outs on the arms.
Yeah, we still do that to this day, actually.
He told us how to progress which moves and when to do what. Like, sometimes we would start with the bigger stuff, and then we'd go to do the lesser cool stuff. He's like, if you're going to do something less cool after you did something bigger, like, they're not going to react as strong. So, like, we just had to learn where to properly put things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he taught us a lot of, he also said, you guys do too much. He's like, pick three things. You guys do 30 things.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. Like,
it's funny when you hear that when you're first starting out, though.
Yeah. Like,
you
want to do everything.
Right? Yeah, what does he know? He's jealous because he can't do that.
Right.
I was laughing the other day. I was telling, we were in the locker room, and somehow we were talking about Dusty and then, like, Gene Kaniski. And Gene Kaniski, famous, you know, world champ from the 60s and 70s, his last match ever was in a six-man with me and Lance Storm and Gene Kaniski in Winnipeg, like in 91 or something.
Okay.
And he said the same thing. He's like, you guys do way too much in between drags and cigarette with his pants around his ankles and his ball bag hanging out. He's like, you guys do too much. I'm like, what does he know? 6'8", can hardly walk. You know, world champion, world schmampion. What does he know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back now, you're like, oh my gosh, was he ever right?
He was Honda something.
I see both sides
because it's like when you're so young, you just want to, like, get over. So you're going to try to do everything you know, because you never know. Like, this audience needs to see everything I have, right?
Yeah.
But, like, once you get over, you kind of, you go, okay, you only have to do a couple
you
things.
You could take
but
a step back.
I think almost you have to get over, though, first. Like, you might have to do some of those things.
You're absolutely right.
To get recognized, like, nowadays, I think you have to do certain
things.
You got
to do more, I think, nowadays than you maybe 20 years ago.
But it still works.
Well,
that,
once you get over that threshold, like you said, of being over, it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you're not being lazy and just totally, you know, screwing the pooch of what you're doing. But last year I didn't do TV once. I did all live events.
Oh, wow.
And every time I came out, super popular, you know, chants and blah, blah, blah. Because once you get to that level, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
But to get to that level is the secret.
That's
right?
Where you put the work in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're a younger guy, especially a smaller guys like we are.
Yep.
When there's a certain expectation of, like, well, you got to be a high flyer.
Yep, that's so true.
You got to do that. And so you do feel like you got to put everything on the
We feel like even now to this day, like, we have this reputation, like, oh, like, we'll be doing a meet and greet before the show, and the fans are like, oh, we're going to get a good one tonight, huh, guys?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, man, I'm really jet lagged, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to have to put in the work.
Yeah, there's 300 people tonight. Where we
yeah, exactly.
But like you said, once you're over, you adjust accordingly.
Yes.
You know?
It took us a long time, though.
We know what they want.
And who would have ever thought the super kick would be the thing that got us to that point, I think.
That, the super kick to us now is it's become the thing that's really helped our career. It's extended
for sure.
In our careers.
Now, explain that, because, like I said, I know the phrase, the super kick party. I've seen some of your stuff, but I don't know the whole lineage behind it.
You know, like, it all started kind of like we just like doing a super kick. Shawn Michaels, our favorite wrestler. Come on, obviously. It's a sweet move. It gets a pop every time.
Always.
It's easy.
Looks
to do
great.
It on anybody, right? So we just started doing it all the time, and we started getting people who would critique us and go, the fans, you know, you guys are just doing it way too much. And we were kind of, we kind of have these attitudes. We're like, oh, it's too much? Well, I'm going to do 10 more. You know what I mean? I'm going to do 15 more.
Right.
And to us, every single wrestler now, not every single wrestler, but a lot of wrestlers like to create this fight atmosphere. We like to create a party atmosphere. Like, we want you to have fun with us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be all serious all the time. Sometimes, sure, it does, but there's a time and a place for that.
You're talking about during the match?
Yeah, during a match. Mm. Even during the entrance, when they're saying your name. A lot of people, like, in the Ring of Honor style, independent style, it's, like, real serious and, like, this is going to be a fight. This is going to be a war. Well, you know what? We're lighthearted guys. We like to have fun. Let's make a party. You want to have a party with me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Come on this journey with us. We want to have a super kick party. And during this party, there might be 15 super kicks. And people might say, like we were just talking about this earlier, oh, you do too much sometimes. But with a super kick, it's like one of these things with us. It's like the more we do, the louder it gets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep,
so it almost defeats wrestling logic and wrestling rules.
And it's almost, it's like our move now. It's weird. We'll have people on the same shows say, hey, do you mind if I do a super kick tonight?
And we just laugh.
And we say, yeah, of course you can.
Well, why did I tell you not to do one? We're going to do 15,
exactly. You know it's funny that they say that. We're like, no, go ahead. Because when we do it, people know that we're going to do it. So go ahead. You could do it. It doesn't matter.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what's different when we do it?
Exactly.
Well, it's like a Ric Flair chop, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day, when someone does a chop, people will go, woo. And you could do 15 chops in a match.
Right.
You know, it's the super 15 super kicks in a match. It's not your finish. Or maybe it is. Sometimes you ever.
Sometimes it is, yes.
Just depending, right?
Yes.
Which keeps it always always dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing for sure is if you see our match, you're going to see a ton of super kicks.
Right.
But and you know what's funny, though, is that we're talking North America and whatnot. If you watch our stuff in Japan, we might go without doing one super kick in a match.
It's a little bit different out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we change our style where we know the fans like our certain things. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
It does, right. Yeah. And it's interesting to me because, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you guys, is that you are one of the very few acts, because you guys are a team, that you're doing it your own way, making your own rules, and working wherever you want, and I'm assuming doing pretty good as a result, because you're pick and choosing where you want to go.
Yep. Yeah.
You haven't succumbed to the lure of WWE or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's pretty ballsy, and that's pretty cool in this day and age to be able to do that, because there's not a lot of guys that can.
And that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to give the other wrestlers, like, we wanted to tell them, hey, you don't have to go to WWE to make a career amount of money.
Right.
You could do certain other things. Like, of course, it's great to go there, and you can make a ton of money, but there's other outlets that you can do, and we've been trying to do that.
And we've had a buddy who used to wrestle, he was in a tag team also, Dustin Cutler, and he was texting us the other day, and he said, man, if I would have known you guys were going to reach this level of success, I probably wouldn't have quit. He's like, I didn't know this was possible.
We said, on an independent level.
We said, I don't think it has been possible. We've kind of created that. Like, there's been a few other guys. There's been
guys like Colt Cabana, of course.
Guys like Cabana have done it himself.
Del Rio was doing it, too.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
There's
not many.
There's a handful of them, right? We said, honestly, we didn't know we would ever, like, get to this point where we could, you know, support our families. My wife's a stay-at-home mom. I'm taking care of both my kids just from wrestling.
Right,
like,
all right. Just from wrestling on the independent
circuit.
Yeah, exactly.
We're so blessed to have this opportunity, and like we've created this, and like the Super Kick Party is like it's our brand. It's kind of like how we've branded ourselves and marketed ourselves. It's like our campaign.
Right.
And it's like become a movement almost. Like I know you've talked about the Yes Movement on here before. Like that's our Yes Movement. It's a Super Kick Party movement.
Well, because
you know?
It happens organically.
Yes,
you know, and the fans are a part of it because like you said, they feel that the. I always felt like if I could believe in somebody, then I would really want to be a part of it and follow them, whether it was a band or a wrestler or an actor or whatever it may be. And you guys have that credibility of you're going to do it your way,
right.
Which pisses some people off.
It does.
So be it, right?
It's kind of like an underground movement that we've created. And we have cult-like a following from our fans that support us like crazy. It's it's nuts. Like, well, I'll get tweets every now and then from a fan saying, hey, I just bought my 30th Young Buck t-shirt. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what?
That's almost like $1,000
on us just from one fan. Like it's mind-blowing.
A different one every day of the month?
Is that what this is? But it's awesome, though.
I think it comes from a real place, like you said. This is us. And if you like it, you like it.
I think it's from the sympathy that we've had, because back in 2009 we went to TNA.
Didn't work out.
We were there for about 2 years, but it didn't work out.
In what way?
The storylines were kind of weird. They broke us up, so they turned us into a singles act, which didn't work.
What's the obsession with companies wanting to break up tag teams? It always made me
mad. Why do that? Yeah, you
know? So we want to be the first tag team that never splits up.
So after TNA didn't work out, we had some tryouts for WWE, and that didn't go our way.
Did they not see anything in you? No, were you too small.
No, they liked us, I think. We never got this. Actually,
I don't know the full reason. Why it never worked out.
Booker T didn't like us. He said we disrespected him backstage at one point.
2011.
This was after TNA. So it didn't go our way then. Now we're cool with him. We saw him recently at an indie, and we squashed all that. We're like, well, whatever. It was just a miscommunication.
Exactly. You have to shake somebody's hand 12 times a day.
It was just a miscommunication. Like, we were busy that whole day because they had us doing tryout matches the whole day.
And green room stuff, too.
Yeah, and promo stuff. And we literally didn't have a chance to say hi to him, so we told him our story later on, but even that didn't work out with them. They didn't want us at that point. Ring of Honor hired us, and Jim Cornette was doing the booking at that in 2012-ish. For some reason, he didn't like us either.
He still bitches about it.
You notice that?
He didn't see anything in us as a tag team, which shocked me, but that didn't go well, so ROH actually fired us. Not fired us, they let our contract go.
Really?
So the sympathy that we were gathering up from our fans was crazy at this point.
Yeah.
And Matt was actually contemplating quitting wrestling, but I was like, Matt, we're in this for a reason. I don't think we would be at this level for no reason. We've done it for so long. Something's going to happen. And that's when we started the Super Kick party.
Why were you contemplating leaving?
I just had my first kid, and I was like,
it's scary.
I'm not making any money. This is ridiculous.
There was no guaranteed money coming in.
It changes your whole perception of what's important.
When you become a father, everything changes.
Yeah. Yep.
And to touch on what he was saying about, we started.
Do you have kids too, Nick?
Yeah, I got two.
Yeah, two apiece. Mm-hmm. But like we looked at each other and we said, Nick, if I'm either going to quit or we're going to have to do something different. Like, we're going to have to change the whole way we look at this. Like, what are we doing wrong here? Like, maybe we're the ones in the wrong. Why don't these guys like us? What's this and that? And finally, we just looked at each other. You know what? Let's do what we did in the backyard, back in HRW, back when we had fun. Mm-hmm. You know what we would do back then? We'd throw up Too Sweet. We'd tell people to suck it.
Mm-hmm. We would throw super kicks.
We did whatever we wanted.
Yep.
And it was fun. And I used to love wrestling. And to this day, I look back at those days, and I think those were my most fun days as a wrestler, right? Travel with my buddies. Like, it was awesome. Like, why don't we just do that again? You know? And he's like, you're right. I think you're right. So we came to PWG where we were already kind of doing that act, and we just did it a little bit crazier, a little bit more.
And the fans loved it. So we were like, man, we got to bring this act
everywhere.
And that's what we pretty much did, and it caught fire, and here we are now.
The roof. And then we got called to come to New Japan.
Exactly.
Which was actually because of
that was our goal, too.
That was one.
That was the next step. We're like, man, we're burning all the candles out in North America. We gotta go do something.
Get something going over there.
Yeah. Right? We made a good friendship with Okada, who's like the head guy.
He was in TNA.
He's one of the top guys there right now.
But he was in TNA, actually, for a little while, and they did not use him at all.
Nothing. So we were in that...
Yeah, all three of us. We were like, man, TNA didn't know what to do with us. Let's show them what we could do, but we got to go overseas and do it.
But it didn't hurt that he was on your
exactly,
side.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
He's like, do you guys want to come to Japan? And we said, this is perfect for us right now. Mm-hmm. We need this. Mm-hmm. And we show up, and we were doing the same act.
Tiger Tori says, oh, you guys are joining the Bullet Club, man. And we're like, oh, yeah.
You guys join Bullet Club.
Yeah. We're like, that's perfect.
So we're like, perfect. Like,
now, let's explain, and a lot of people listening know who the Bullet Club is, but let's explain what basically the hottest heel group.
Yep.
in Japan, in the world right now, although we'll get to, there's been a little bit of some raiding going on, that sort of thing, but the Bullet Club is the shit. T-shirt sales and you know, heat and all that sort of thing, and you guys are right in the mix of that.
And you know what? I think it works because Gato, the head booker over at New Japan, he doesn't give us any, like, what's the word I'm looking
boundaries,
for? Any boundaries. Yeah.
Doesn't put any chains on you.
Exactly. He says, go out and do whatever you guys want. I trust you guys. Go out and have some fun.
And we always do our best when they just say, go.
Yeah.
Like, it's Super Dragon, the guy who books PWG, just says, hey, Bucks, go. Mm-hmm. And we go out there and we make magic. Now Gato's telling us, go. Like, okay.
We're like, wow,
he's
we finally got the big stage.
To you guys. Yeah, it's funny because Jado and Gato and I were in Mexico together in 93 and then in Japan together. Mm-hmm. And Gato always loved Memphis wrestling. He always loved that style and that book. And you can see how he books, even to the point of giving you guys some freedom. Mm-hmm. And so the finishes are very easy to follow. It's funny to see that because you never would think that could work in Japan.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's just basic psychology of
wrestling.
He
westernized New Japan.
That's right.
He saved New Japan.
He totally did.
It was on a decline.
It was.
He brought this in, and now business is just
up. It's crazy. We just did the Tokyo Dome.
Right.
40,000 people. Yeah.
And what was it? What was you guys in a four-way match?
Four-way tag match. We opened the show.
Who else was in it?
Red Dragon.
Seidel and Ricochet were one team.
Amazing. Yep. Both those guys amazing.
Trent and Rocky Romero.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
Roppongi Vice.
Two awesome guys, man.
They're called the Roppongi Vice.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's caught on real well over there.
Roppongi's the big bar area in Tokyo,
We took our parents out to Japan. We took them down to Roppongi and went to the old Hard Rock Cafe.
Nice.
And they enjoyed it.
Gas Panic Club.
Oh, yeah. It was fun, man. We had a good time. I had my 7-month-old boy out in Japan.
Oh, you went to Japan?
Yeah, everybody.
How did he do on the flight? That's a long flight.
Oh, my gosh.
If he got upset, my wife would just put him on the boob. And that, I have a 4-year-old daughter. She was acting a little crazy at times. Yeah.
They did great, though. I was shocked how good they did.
All right, we're still sitting here with Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. Now, who was in the Bullet Club when they brought you in?
So the original guy, it was
at first,
I call him Chad, but his name's Carl Anderson. Yep. Mm-hmm. Carl Machine
Tama
Anderson.
Tonga.
Tama Tonga. Fale, the big guy, big rugby player. And then
Ferg. Fergal. Yep, those were the first
four. They were
four.
The four. So we were the first new members that they brought in outside of the original group.
Gotcha, okay. So there's just you six?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, for a little while.
But then AJ comes over.
Before AJ,
it was Luke Gallows.
Gallows come in.
Right.
Yep.
He was going to be Carl Anderson's tag team partner.
Yeah, after Luke Gallows, it was AJ Styles.
And then AJ came in.
Okay. So now AJ, Doc, Carl, and then Nakamura all get raided, worst kept secret in wrestling that they're going to WWE. How did you guys do? Is that something that was a shock?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the top. Four of the top.
Yeah.
It all happened in front of us.
We saw it all happen. And we'd kind of known about it for a little bit, so it was like one of these things. It was like I knew the world was ending, but nobody else did.
Yeah, but we saw the actual meeting right in front of our eyes, and we were like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
It was a total surprise for New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
For those guys. Mm. See, that's the thing. When you're on the road, and I was going to bring this back before, you talked about how you took a $75 cab ride to, there's a real, because ROH seems to me a lot like maybe ECW, or WCW,
definitely.
And we were all there, your gang, you become very close-knit, and in Japan, especially when you're a foreigner over there, if you're going over there for a two-week tour, three-week tour, you guys travel together, you eat together, you know, you're strangers in a strange
land. You're family, pretty
much.
Very
much family. Mm-hmm. You get very close to them, so it must have been kind of sad for you guys,
gosh.
Just losing your friends.
And we still don't know exactly what's going on, because we're being kayfabed a little bit from from the group. We don't know.
Just know they're done with New Japan.
Yeah.
And
they've probably been told, don't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But even just like you said, the fact that they're not going to be down there with us anymore is kind of
it was heartbreaking for sure.
Right. They're your friends.
It's like the emotional me is going, oh, man. But you know what? I hope the best for those guys, man. These guys deserve, if anyone deserves it, it's guys like that.
Sure.
Carl Anderson's been in Japan for 8 years straight.
Yeah.
We told him, you need to go home, go to North America.
That's a long time to be over there with kids and family.
He's got three kids, too.
Right.
So it's like,
He's full time. He's on what would you say, 40?
Oh my goodness.
30 he's something.
At least 7 months out of the year.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why Baldo left, or when a giant Bernard. Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
He did.
It's a hard lifestyle.
So what happens now to the Bullet Club?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, we have no idea. Well, we go back to Japan
in a couple weeks.
So I think we'll find out more.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still intact, though.
Is it still going to exist?
Yeah, I think so. They own the name, and the shirt's still doing great. So,
right.
And everyone likes making
never
money.
Seen a shirt like this ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And you know what?
I think
it's going to make even more money on the shirt now because of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, people will want to know, like you said, who's going to be the replacement?
Exactly.
So what do you do? It's like, you know, the lead singer leaves the band. Yeah. Who's going to replace him?
I think they have big plans for Kenny Omega, who I think is one of the best professional wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
I talk about a guy that just has it all. Like, Nick and I second him in the ringside.
He's unbelievable.
Is he from Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never met him before.
Unreal. Oh, my gosh. You would love him.
Two guys from Winnipeg. That's where I'm from. He's from Winnipeg.
Him and AJ Styles are my top two best wrestlers
in the
world.
I put him right
up there with AJ. In the world. Wow.
That's how good Kenny Omega is.
So we're going to be doing a lot of team with him, like as a trio this year. Yeah. So I know that's one big
thing. Definitely in the Bullet Club with him.
Yes. Was he in the Bullet Club already?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
He was after AJ Styles.
Is he the guy who had a match with the blow up doll?
Oh yeah.
And they also
and
had a match with the little kid,
yep,
right?
That's him.
Now that was crazy.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen Google, he has a match with like an 8-year-old little girl or something.
Mm-hmm. And it's the house down.
It's really good.
The house down.
You know, that's typical Japan, this weird kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. And that you know what, that girl actually emailed him recently saying she wants a rematch.
She's like,
and now she's like, yeah, 11
How did
or 12.
That even happen in the first place?
She was training, I guess, to become a wrestler, and they would practice matches, I guess, and I have no idea. I'll have to get more into that.
He's told us a story. That was from a DDT promotion, which is like they have a crazy
weird, funny stuff. Yeah. So that's one of those things that like a guy like Cornette just hates.
Oh, my gosh.
But the business is different now.
It is.
You know, guess what, guys? It's been exposed, whatever you want to call it. We know that it's show business at this point. You know what I mean?
And that's the stuff that people love now, man. Like last year, we super kicked an 8-year-old kid. I don't know if you saw this clip.
I did not.
It went viral, and it was like this really popular clip, and people just know us. You guys are the kids that are the guys that
kids, right?
People love, like TMZ picked it up.
How did it work? Why did you do that?
We saw this kid was the kid of one of the announcers, right?
Mm-hmm.
At a small independent show.
In Japan or in the States?
No, this
in the
was,
States. Locally, actually.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, this is in Chino.
Yeah, a little company called IWL.
Yeah, and the kid just loves us. Like, we're his favorite wrestlers, and he's just like, dude, it would be my honor to take a super kick from you guys. Can we somehow get this on the show?
And this
dad even wanted us to do it.
And this kid always practices with the wrestlers before the shows, like just play fighting.
Right. So we saw him in the ring taking some sweet bumps. We're like, whoa, this kid's pretty capable. And we practiced with him a few times. We're like, yeah, I think we can do this and make it safe.
But I was on the fence. This guy's the one that doesn't care. I was like, Matt, we're going to get a ton of heat. I guarantee.
For exposing the business.
Yeah, that. Right. And I was more scared of childhood abuse, to be honest with you.
Forget about exposing the business, right?
He's like, there's no way we're doing it. I said, there's no way we're not doing it.
Yeah. He's all, the clip will go viral. He's like, we're viral wrestlers. This is what we want. I'm like, all right, you
it's
got a point.
It's kind of the same effect like with Kenny. Like, Kenny does the same silly, weird stuff, and people love it. Like, he's famous for this match he had. What was it? Like a false count anywhere match?
Oh, yeah, at a park.
Yeah, and they wrestled everywhere, and they took it like a pond, like a slide.
Yeah,
that's another thing you got to YouTube one day. Oh my God, that was
incredible. We're kind of the same as Kenny, like in that aspect where it's like we just do out of the box silly things that guys like, you know, Cornette or old timers would hate, but other people these days love.
Yeah.
So like, we have to kick the kid.
It's a new generation, and it's funny because I had Robbie Brookside on this show a couple weeks ago, and we were talking when we were in Germany in '93. So we're in Hamburg, and you wrestle in the same venue every night, okay? And on Sunday mornings, they had this thing called Kinder Catch, where all the wrestlers have to show up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Kinder is kids, like kindergarten, and all the kids get in the ring, and you basically like take bumps for them.
Oh, wow.
You know, you show them, this is how you do a body slam, this is how you do a bump, and you know, this is how you do a drop kick. They'd have a drop kick contest, and I remember going, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, this is so stupid. So that was 20-odd years ago.
Wow.
Guess what, guys? That's exposing the business, because the same people are coming to the show every night.
But it was 20 years ago.
20 years ago. Yeah. So I don't, you know, there's always been that element. Yeah. This is not the 60s, 70s. It's changed. Yes,
it's all changed. It's different.
You know, the other night on Raw, I got the biggest pop of the night by breaking a trombone.
Right. Oh, wow.
Or telling people to leave the ring and doing a cartwheel.
Sure.
That's the part of the business. Yes. You know, it's just the way it is.
And it's fun.
And you have to understand that it's evolving. Like, I don't want to be one of those guys 10, 20 years from now where, like, I'm the guy going, oh, my God, I can't believe they're like,
sure.
I remember and you know this
what,
moment.
And you know what's funny to me is those guys will go on podcasts and say, that's exposing the business. Aren't you exposing the business by saying this on a podcast? You know what I mean?
I mean,
did you have any face to face with Jim Cornette?
Oh yeah.
So tell us about that.
We recently saw him at what show was it? A Jeff Jarrett's GFW show.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, he comes up to us and he says, "Hey, Buck, so good to see you guys. Isn't it great that we got the only angle that people believe in these days?" So that to me told me he's just working. This whole thing's a work. So that's when I just wiped my hands and dried him. And that's it.
We blocked him on Twitter and we said, "Okay, now we can't see any of that."
That's the ultimate thing, right? Yeah. You're really friends when you follow each other on Twitter,
yeah.
And you're really sending a message when you block him.
Oh, Kevin Owens is great at that for sure.
Oh man, yeah, his Twitter is the funniest.
Yeah, he's
ever.
Good.
He's the king.
He's just like he's got that really smarmy sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit warped by the fact that English is his second language. So it's just a little bit strange. You know what I mean? So did you have a good time with working with all those guys in Ring of Honor?
Oh yeah. We just signed a guaranteed contract with them because our year previously was so busy. They set us down and said, "Hey, we don't want you guys getting injured. You guys are one of our top acts.
Wow.
We want you guys to stay here and wrestle here."
That was Tiger and Torrey's doing too.
Yeah,
like New Japan was like, please, guys. Yeah. Like they all kind of sat.
So we just signed a cool contract where we wrestle 10 weeks minimum New Japan every year, which ends up being like 15 weeks or 20
Great.
Weeks.
Yeah.
And we get to do Ring of Honor shows. And we also got PWG in that same contract. So we get to do all three of those shows year-round. And they wanted this to happen because they didn't want us to risk our bodies at a small little independent show in front of 50
people. Which is
great.
Yeah. So those three companies are the only ones you are officially allowed to work for. And what
at
more
this
do you
point.
Need?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We felt like it was a great deal because it's like, to us, those are our three favorite wrestling companies to work for. And we got the three, so like, we're good.
Now, you guys have mentioned this a couple of times, and I know the vibe of it, but the PWG, this is a kind of a real phenomenon in that these matches take place in a very small, I think it's a 400 seat venue that sells out, you know, 5 minutes every time.
Yep.
What's the deal with that place?
I don't know what it is, man. I know the building has something to do with it.
Yeah.
And I know that there's also a bar inside the building, which helps out. I think, you know, when you're drinking alcohol at a wrestling show, I think it brings out the volume in your voice a little bit.
But it's such an intimate atmosphere. Like you said, 400 people
must be sweaty in there.
Jam-packed in this small little building. It's kind of like the ECW arena,
sure,
but way smaller.
Wow.
It's probably one-fourth the size, when you say.
It's just become a community, too. Like, everybody there,
they're all family and
they're
friends.
They're all the same fans. People are not necessarily wrestling fans. They're PWG fans.
Yeah.
It's like they're going to this punk rock concert for this one specific band that they know. I'm
celebrities,
sure a lot of them do know other wrestling, but they love PWG with all their hearts. It's like their child.
And now celebrities are coming out to these events.
Right.
To come watch because of how hot it's gotten.
Really? Who was there?
Oh man! There's
at one point the whole cast of True Blood was there. Yeah. Not the whole cast, but all the dudes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they were all there.
Sophia
Vergara.
She was there.
What was she doing there?
Just
from
wanted to check out an event.
I guess had to do with the werewolf dude.
Her husband.
Yeah. He was on True Blood, so he knew about it.
Okay, came with her. Well, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Is she hot in person?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very
pretty hot on.
I won't admit that to my wife. But yeah.
just because you're what is it? Just because you're chained to the porch doesn't mean you can't
walk out of the dogs. Paramore, the girl, Haley.
No,
she was there. There's just a lot of random.
So it's becoming like the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
If
mm-hmm.
you can get a ticket to this place, it's great because they have no desire to grow.
No.
It.
Nope,
they're
they do not want to
totally
increase
fine being what they are.
They don't even want to do like pay-per-views. They don't want to do anything. They want to stay the way they have.
Whatever.
They want to keep that same model because it's worked.
Whatever formula they have going, it works.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to screw with it. Like, it's magic in that building.
Do they jack up the ticket prices?
Yeah, and that's what they're doing.
Make money off it.
Yeah,
right?
Because I do the math, and I'm seeing the live gate, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's why he keeps running like this.
Sure,
he's doing great.
From what you're making off of it. Like, how do you afford this?
Yeah.
Or whatever, right?
And
there's
said,
a lot of matches on those shows.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that they do say is their DVD sales are unreal, too.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And I mean, it's 2016 and DVDs.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, DVD, man.
Yeah, I was talking to the HighSpots.com owner, and he says that's the number one DVD always.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I bought a MacBook a couple months ago, and I went to put a DVD in. You don't even have a DVD player.
Really? Oh, wow.
I had to buy a little gimmick DVD player and plug it into the MacBook. I'm like, this sucks.
It's becoming obsolete.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So just the fact they can still exist on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. I mean, obviously, it's been growing so much. You guys are one of the cornerstones there now. Who else is are the bigger names there?
Oh, man, this one guy. You might have heard of him. Dalton Castle.
Oh, I'm a big fan of his.
Matt and I say this all the time. He's... he's the guy, the one guy that has gotten over with the Ring of Honor audience faster than anyone we've ever seen in the 8-7 years that we've been at Ring of Honor. It's unreal.
Just over the top personality, kind of like a Liberace, weird.
It's so modern though, man.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Every city we go to, the fans are on their feet for his entrance, and we're like, wow, they're following this act. They like this.
This is brilliant.
It works.
Yeah, another tag team, Red Dragon.
Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
They're incredible. Yep. One of the best tag teams in Japan
with you guys.
Yeah. Yep. The Briscoe brothers are unbelievable. Yeah,
Mark and Jay, amazing guys. They got a heck of a tag team division right now.
Oh, yeah. We've been wrestling Alex Shelley a lot lately, too. He's back over there.
They got Chris Sabin back there, too, now.
Really?
He's working. Yeah, okay. He's killing it.
They got a great tag division that we like to mix it up with. So, man, who else is there that...
We've been doing some really good stuff with Rhett and Kenny lately. Yep. They're called the All Night Express.
So they got a lot of tag teams.
They got a lot of tag teams.
Is there a buzz about Ring of Honor? Is it growing?
I think so. When we were working there 2011, 2012 with the Cornette era, we like to call it, the house shows were drawing nothing.
It was down
to like 200 to 300 people, and Matt and I were scared. We're like, man, Ring of Honor's in trouble. Now we're happy to say that they average 1,000 people a show now.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's great to hear because things have been growing just constantly. Like we'll do the meet and greets before the shows, and people just want to line up and pay money. Yeah. They're at the merch stands buying the t-shirts. Like when you see people are spending money constantly, we know something's working.
You know what it is? It's the rub they got from New Japan because they have this relationship with New Japan. Mm-hmm. It started a couple of years ago. And ever since they teamed with them, business has been up. They've done more for us than I think they even realize.
It's been the big viable alternative now.
Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, WWE is that. Is there, I was going to say, with NXT kind of starting, is that something that's kind of tapping into some ROH business?
We were discussing this on the ride here, actually. And Matt actually thinks it's better for the business.
So many people saying, man, NXT is killing the indies. I'm like, really? Because when it was contract negotiations, there's a fear of me going there, so now I get more money. So NXT's great for business, man. Yeah. Like, that's my thing.
It's the classic thing. The more places there are for the boys to work, the better it is.
Because I think they realize, hey, we could go jump to NXT tomorrow. Right. Or, hey, the Briscoes could go to NXT whenever they want. Like, I think it helps with the negotiations.
Also from their end, too, it's like, well, the Young Bucks are available. We don't want them working for Ring of Honor.
Exactly. Yep.
So, I mean, I'm sure that's what happened with the Bullet Club. But that's what I mean. Like, so there's always been...
Or high-risk wrestling.
High-risk wrestling return. Right? But I mean, that's always good for the business when you have those options. Mm-hmm. Especially, like I said, when there's guys like yourselves who are actually going out there and doing this on your own and being very successful with it. Yeah. How did you guys get the name Young Bucks?
Man. So we were working at the Grand Olympic Auditorium in LA. I don't know if you ever heard of it or wrestled
there. Sure. Famous place, right?
Now it's like a church or something, I think.
Okay.
But at the time, we were going to get booked to do this huge show there, which was going to be the biggest show we've ever done.
I was 16 years old at this time, too.
At that point, the most people we had to wrestle in front of was like 50 people.
This place was sold out, so I think, I don't know how much it held, but it was probably 5,000 to 6,000, 7,000 people.
Who was on top for that?
Santo was still doing
Blue Demon was on it, too.
It was
too,
a big Lucha crowd.
Lucha crowd, right?
Yeah. Conan was on it. There were a bunch of big names.
The guy who was running the show, he saw us at a small indie wrestling each other, actually. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he finally called me a week or two later. He's like, I saw you and your brother tear it up the other night, man. I'd love to have you guys on my show. So, yeah, we'd love to. We weren't even a tag team at the time. We were just two singles guys for some reason.
What were your names at that point?
I was Mr. Instant Replay, and he was
Slick Nick. Yeah.
So he wore blue, and I wore red. That was pretty much the only way
to differentiate. I like Mr. Replay and Slick Nick.
Yeah, Slick Nick.
So he's like, I'm going to put you guys as a tag team. I was just, I remember kind of thinking, that's weird. We're not a tag team. Like, okay, well, fine. You know,
my
whatever.
Brother?
Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't see it back then.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we show up to the show, and we didn't even realize this guy didn't even know our name. Mm-hmm. So we look at the card, and like, we're looking for our names. Where's Mr. Instant Replay? Where's Slick Nick? We don't see it on there. So finally, I pulled the guy aside. His name's Joey Chaos. He used to wrestle for this company out here called XPW.
Yeah.
And I said, Joey, you know, where are we at? He's like, oh, you're right here. Your match, whatever, 6. And I look, and it says... The Young Bucks versus the Mongo Brothers, which was him and his cousin, I believe. I said, the Young Bucks? He goes, yeah, we couldn't really, you know, remember your guys' names. I mean, we just called you guys the Young Bucks.
We were pissed. We're like, oh, that name sucks.
Like, you can remember our names. I'm Mr. Instant Replay, man. Yeah.
Nick. It's pretty easy.
So he's like, tonight you're just going to be Matt and Nick, the Young Bucks. Is that cool? And we're like, well, I guess. Like, you know.
And he kept booking that same arena as a – us the called Young the Young Bucks, and it just caught on.
Finally,
from there.
We just accepted it. Like the first night, we wrestled in the blue and red. I think.
Yeah.
The second night, we're like, we probably should then, get some matching gear, man. Yeah.
Just go with it.
Yeah. And it caught on, and other independents out here started booking us as the Young Bucks, and we're like. Okay, let's just do it. We hated it at first, of course. You know?
The first time I went to Japan was with Lance. We were the Sudden Impact. And so we go, and Lance comes over to me. It's the first show, and, you know, he's pretty scared, and the card is up on the wall. And he comes over and goes, "We're not on tonight, man." I'm like, "What? We're not on the show." We're like, "What?" So I start at the bottom. I'm looking. I get to the very top, and it's like, "No, we're on the show. We're working on the main event." These are the names, Kleiss and Runtz.
Oh, man.
Where did they come up with this?
Chris and Lance.
Okay.
Kleiss and Runtz.
Wow, that's great.
That's us, dude. Kleiss and Runtz.
That's funny.
Do you guys like being in Japan and kind of the travel there and all that sort of stuff?
We've been going out there since 08, 09, I think.
We started with
my first
Dragon Gate back
My then. First tour going to Japan was at 18 years old.
Man.
So I was scared to death.
Right.
I remember, I still tell the story to this day. I remember flying there and then landing in Tokyo. I'm 18 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I get myself into? I don't see any English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, Matt, what do we do? We're looking for our ride. And sure enough, our ride was late, but we had no clue. Cell phones didn't work at that time. Mm-hmm. We were still using the green phone.
You're probably aware of.
So we were calling up random numbers like, hey, what are we doing? It took 2 hours for our ride to finally get there. And then when we finally got to the hotel, we were like, oh, thank God we're at the hotel. We get into this little elevator. We're like, oh, my God.
One person fit in there with their bag.
Yeah. I remember being scared to death. I slept in Matt's room that first night.
Like, we were, like, hungry, too. Because we were like, I don't even know how we go out there and, like, how do we spend money? Like, we were so naive.
So naive.
No, but dude, I had the same thing. I was 19 the first time. I had no idea. Where do you even go?
Exactly.
I remember they gave me, like, 10,000 yen.
Oh,
all in thousands. I was like, oh my gosh,
I'm
$10,000
rich.
And it's worth like, you know, $12.
Yeah.
I don't even think they gave us money to spend.
No.
So like, we were just confused. Nobody explained anything to us. We were just like,
we got money at the airport, I believe, but we were scared to death.
Yeah, I think I remember him sleeping on my tiny little
18-year-old naive kid. And before that, we didn't do much. That was like our first break. So it was like, man, this was scary.
We were just guys from Southern California.
Yeah.
Did a couple spot shows on the weekend warriors, you know.
Yeah.
All of a
sudden
we're in Japan.
Yeah.
Booked in Japan.
Yeah.
Did they have did they get a work visa for you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was for Dragon Gate.
Gotcha. Right.
That's the number two promotion out there nowadays.
Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah, behind New Japan?
It's number two.
Is it two?
Yep.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. They've gained a lot of popularity, I should say. Yeah.
Did you guys have an issue with the food when you went over there?
Are you kidding? Yeah.
We tried everything just out of respect. Because you go to sponsored dinners, and you're like, I'm going to get paid.
We tried everything.
Got sick every night.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, just raw, random stuff. Raw liver, raw horse, raw everything. Yeah, they love everything raw.
This piece of sushi costs $750. Yes. You must try it. And it tastes like, you know, it's liquid, terrible. Like gelled shit.
Yeah.
This stew with just weird stuff. This thing was floating around, and Nick and I, this looks like penis stew.
Yeah, we called it penis stew.
Penis stew.
It probably was, to be honest. The first tour, we did 35 days, man.
That's a long time. For your first tour? Yeah.
And we lost so much weight.
I was gonna say, man.
But we smartened up the next tour. We packed so much, like, random chicken can.
Yeah.
But you know what was bad? We had McDonald's every single day the next tour.
Yeah, so the second tour, I come home fat. My fiance at the time, she's just like, oh, my God, what happened? The first one,
what's going on? Yeah.
But that's what happens, though. You go over there, and when you don't know anything else, you see, you know, the Golden Arches
or Kentucky Fried
Chicken. It's like,
funny.
At least I know what this is.
We say that. We're like, oh, the Golden Arches. Thank God.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in a country town, man, and there's nothing available.
Like, now we're, man,
and
we're.
And when Matt says nothing, he's not saying that there's options. Everything literally closes at like 8 o'clock, and your show ends at 9 or whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's not even, there's nothing. Literally nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
You know, if you can find a bowl of noodles, you're lucky.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Some nights to this day, we starve. But like now, if we're in Tokyo, we're making good money now. So we're like, screw this. We're eating whatever
there's
we
steak
want. Anything westernized that we'll go to.
We took our family to Japan and like, we're eating. There's a TGI Friday right in Tokyo City.
Yeah.
They're like, this isn't bad. What are you talking about? Trust me, it's not.
Come on, yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah, we're treating you well.
you get the pizza with corn and octopus on it.
Yeah. Come on, man. Like,
how can you ruin a pizza?
Yeah, well they can.
Yeah.
The worst one I saw. We were on a rooftop restaurant, and they had like the grill. Mm-hmm. They took a lobster. They're like, "What lobster? Pick lobster." Okay, I'll choose this one.
Yeah.
Pull the lobster out of the water, stick it onto like the pan, like the skillet, and just hold it on there.
This thing's
still alive.
And they're holding
it down with the skillet, basically burning it alive in front of you.
Brutal.
And you can hear it's going like,
and then you gotta eat this.
And then the eyeballs are like, it's like, here you go. I'm like,
yeah, here's dinner.
Watch this die in front of me. I don't think I can do
it. Torturous death.
Terrible death. So you guys go back to Japan, and you're still doing the Ring of Honor. So is it, how about in the styles in the ring? Are they similar as far as what you got to do and adjust?
Different. Yeah,
like,
definitely.
We spent our first year in Japan like thinking, God, these people still don't know who we are, because we go up to these entrances in the country trials and people just no clue, no reaction. It took us 1 year, probably, would you say, for people to finally
being on TV.
Young Bucks, like
Mato,
to understand our moves and our sense of humor. Now it's to the point where like they're just like anybody else. They're cheering along and singing along with our songs and stuff, and they know our stuff now. But
it took a while to get to the
to get over.
Our first match, to get the style. Right.
Like
we did way too much our first match.
Oh yeah,
we went out there and we're like, let's throw a super kick party. They showed Japan with a super kick party. They didn't understand.
It was Cork and Hall. It was like a part of a big tag division tournament. I remember taking a superplex to the floor onto Matt.
Gosh.
Just on the mat.
We weren't even main event or anything. We were probably like, what, third match?
I killed Matt. I landed right
on
him.
Who gave you that?
Trent Beretta.
Spanky was in our match, too.
Gosh,
yeah.
Really?
Like, we were all trying to get jobs.
That'll get us jobs.
We were motivated, but...
That's one of those ones where everyone in the back is watching going, I'm never taking that.
Yes. And you know what? I heard when we got to the back, remember Machine Gun kind of smartened us up, and everyone was kind of questioning, are these guys ready for this? Because we did way too much. But
sure.
Gato told us. Yeah, he's like
good and big impact, but please, maybe less next time.
Like, maybe half
less. We smartened up quick because we didn't realize how much we'd be wrestling out there.
Right.
And it's every day. So you can't do that style every
day. I want to go back to the superplex from the top rope outside. How are you catching him on this?
Man, I was the only one out there, too.
Or?
I'm on my feet, and if you watch it on tape, it looks like on the Final Destination movies when the bus comes and hits someone. That's what my body looks like. I just get overwhelmed by human beings. Like, it's two guys that just overwhelm my body.
Oh, yeah, because
like,
he's coming. Over
yeah. yeah, like I caught two guys.
Trent Beretta took a straight back bump up from the top. I was a little better because
positioning.
Well, that and he's my brother. He's going to catch me better than the other guy.
Of course. Trent Beretta was a dude buster, right?
Yeah. Yes. He's awesome.
He's tearing it up in Japan.
I heard he's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing really
the last time I saw him, we were taking a bus from Geneva to Madrid because remember when the volcano happened?
Oh, that's right.
Ago,
yeah.
And everyone was stranded overseas. In Ireland. Mm-hmm. So we had to get back to do Raw, even though we were SmackDown guys. But the thing was, we only had enough room for like 10 guys on the crew, so they'd leave a couple guys behind. The dude busters got left behind. That's the last I ever saw.
Wow.
I heard that they stayed in Geneva with some chicks, and they were like, they started their own cult, and I was like, they're probably like, running.
Before now, you thought he's still out there.
Yeah, I thought he was like the president of Switzerland or something, so I'm glad to see he's
He's a great guy. He's super weird, but he's the funniest
to he's a wild car, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a good one. And another thing we did in that match was, I think we did one of our big finishers. We call it the Indy Taker, where I hold the guy up in a tombstone, and my brother does a springboard. He kind of just like, assists. You know, the move.
Into like a pile driver.
To a pile driver, right.
To Spanky, who kicked out in our first match.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake, but again, we're trying
but
to get
Spanky
a job
wanted
here.
That. He was like, I need that kick out, guys. Give me that kick out.
Let's do it. So we had a really good match. It was just like, it was a little too much.
That was the one thing they were
really
real mad about.
One way, and the other way, people going, what the hell? But then again, you're talking about Japan, where once again, 20 years ago, I remember seeing like Samurai versus Kanemoto. Jumping pile driver, stand up. I pick you up, give you a pile driver.
Yes.
You stand up, you pick me up, and give me the old trading pile driver.
This has happened for years then.
Yeah, tell me about the Meltzer driver.
What
the hell is that?
So the move I just described to you, the Indy Taker, it's essentially the same thing, except Nick does a springboard and he does a full front flip.
I've seen it. How the hell do you do that?
Well, pretty much improvising. I thought I could do it one day, and... We were wrestling Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. We explained the move to them. They're like, wow, that, you should do it today. And I was like, I don't know if it's possible. It was just in my head. I don't know if I can do it. They're like, nope, you're doing it, and you're going to try it on us. I was like, oh, God, okay. I just tried it, and it went perfect.
Yeah. So perfect. So Matt is holding the guy in a
regular tombstone position.
Like a tombstone position, and you're doing
springboard.
Front flipping. Basically as if you're going to do a leg drop.
Exactly. But and I catch the guy. Legs. And then we both come down at the same time.
And you're sitting and you're coming underneath.
Yeah, so it looks like a tombstone and a pile driver at the same time.
You got to credit Frankie Kazarian because we told him about this idea we had for this move, which we'd later call the Meltzer driver. And he's like, you guys got to do it on me tonight. And we never had the courage to do it. Yeah. And Frankie's like one of those guys, just is a huge ball. He's just like, just do it. Who cares? Do it. It's like, okay. And we just did it. And it was because of him telling us to do it. Like, we would have probably never have done it. It was probably an idea we just did.
Someone has to take it.
Right. Absolutely. And it was him.
And it was him.
Terrified.
Yeah. Those two are nuts. They'll do anything.
That's two guys we neglected to talk about, too. When we were talking about Ring of Honor teams. Like,
Two of the best.
Two of the locker room leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Having these guys, like, we're road buddies with these guys. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're married to them on the road. Like, having them in the back is, like, the greatest thing for us because we learn so much from them.
Seasoned vets.
Oh, my God. So good. Chris, they know the things that we still don't know because we just haven't done this as long as them. Mm-hmm. You know, so we like to pick their brains.
And some people might not want to take advice from me. I'm 26 years old. So,
he's 26.
Yeah. But Christopher Daniels, you know what I mean? He's done everything, so they'll go up to him. And get the advice.
He has the respect.
How did you come up with calling it the Meltzer driver?
It's just a tongue in cheek thing. It's kinda, it was our sense of humor.
We're kind of boys with Meltzer too.
Oh,
now,
yeah, so. You guys are the same. He's California guy.
We were driving one day to a show, and I said, God, we should just call that move that he invented practically. We should call it the Meltzer driver. And he's like,
as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my gosh.
Right here, like someone had a clip of the move, and I'm like, this is the Meltzer driver, or something to that effect, and then, right? And then it just took off.
And sure enough, he voted that the number one maneuver of 2014.
Smart move. Name it.
Or was it 2015? One of those years.
Awards all the time. It was great.
Good political move there.
Oh, we love Dave.
I had this idea because whenever I used to work with Mysterio, he was like, it's like playing with your son. You could do anything with him because he's just a little guy, right? Even though he whips your ass. But I'm going to throw you up in the air. We'll try this and do this and try that. And I had this dream one night, like a literal dream, where I was standing like with my back to the rope. And he would jump up and do a springboard backflip. Mm-hmm. And land on my shoulders into a Frankenstein.
Wow.
And we always like, we were going to call it the Frankensteiner. Like the holy Frankensteiner. And we never tried it because I think we could have done it, but we never had that moment. Like you said, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, just do it. Worst thing that happens.
Oh, I could see you guys doing it for sure.
But it's just one of those, now I don't think, but maybe someday, maybe you guys
one of these guys nowadays, man, there's so many crazy flyers nowadays.
Who's pretty crazy out there right now?
Ricochet is by far one of the craziest.
Now, he's in Lucha Underground as well.
Yes.
Right?
And he's New Japan with us, too.
But what's his name in Lucha Underground?
Puma.
I saw him.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
He's nuts.
It's almost like you have to stop it and pause, fast forward. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What the hell happened?
And you know who I think is the best flyer in the business right now to this day, but probably doesn't get the credit for, is Neville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's amazing.
He revolutionized it. He looks like he's a gymnast out there, and he's not doing one-fourth of what we used to see him do in Japan, because he's not allowed to, and he shouldn't because he's wrestling so often, you know what I mean?
Right. Another guy, obviously, you've heard of Jack Evans, who also
Calgary kid,
amazing. Willow Spray, this guy from
this
England,
new guy.
How do you pronounce that?
I think
it's Will Osprey.
Will Osprey.
Okay, maybe I'm saying
it wrong.
But
he's a new guy coming up. That that
English
just
guy, right?
Yeah, he's
he
so
just
good.
Got started booking for PWG. He's doing PWG shows now, so he's gonna get a lot more exposure to the.
Yeah. It's like, how do you even think of this stuff? Like, you think everything's been done, and yet you'll see something like I said, the Meltzer driver. Yeah. Like, you have to like, what the hell am I watching?
You know, I think it's those moments like when we finally just gave in to Frankie and we were like, okay, screw it, let's do it.
Well, that's but just the concept of how you thought of it.
Yeah. Right.
No one's ever done it.
I think you have to take those risks sometimes in wrestling. Sometimes it's not the same. Like, is the move dangerous or not? Or even if it's an idea that might fall flat. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not dangerous. Like, it's just this weird off-the-wall thing. Mm-hmm. Like Kenny wrestling a little kid. You know what I mean? Like, it could be this weird thing, but if you do it and you hit a home run, that's how you get over, I think.
Yeah.
Like, in this day. Or you can fall flat in your face. You know how many times we've fallen flat on our face? Yeah. You can go there and try.
You have to do something that's never been done before.
Yes.
Whether it's your look or whether it's your move or your attitude or whatever it may be, because we've seen so much.
Yeah, you're right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, okay, a triple Lindy off the top rope to the floor.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
It could be a catchphrase or a look or whatever.
And we used to do that type of stuff, but we saw other guys like Ricochet do the 630s way better than us. I'm like, screw that. This guy makes it look like way better than me.
Yeah, there's no way.
I'm not doing it
now
anymore.
Instead of that, I'm going to do a Suck It sing-along where I have the entire audience singing Suck It with me during a strike exchange. You know what I mean? That's, to me, like, that could be something that totally falls flat on my face.
You're right.
Totally
fails. You have to commit to it, though.
Yeah, you
have to commit to it.
And once again, this is another thing talking about being over. If you are over, I remember a couple years ago when Rock was working with Cena for one of the WrestleMania events, he called him a Kung Pao bitch, like Kung Pao Chinese
food. I remember that.
It's the stupidest thing ever. It doesn't even make sense, but lo and behold, he said it, and it stuck in my head, and it still makes me laugh.
You
know, because it's the Rock.
And it was probably trending worldwide, you know.
You know, I had this stupid thing with New Day a couple weeks ago, Rudy Tootie Booty. It's the dumbest thing ever. But I knew people will chant it. Why? Because I'm committed to it, and people just want to be involved.
That's smart.
You know, and the hardcores hate me for it. It's the stupidest thing ever, and
they
you suck.
Love
and it's
getting
like,
involved.
Dude, 8-year-old kids like saying Rudy Tootie Booty.
Because
it's funny, right? And that's why you do some of the things that you do.
Yep.
And that's what
so
gets you to the next level way more than, you know, the Meltzer driver or whatever it may be would.
Absolutely.
You know,
you have to have some type of character nowadays.
Yep.
Which is smart for you guys to say that because you're working in a place, especially New Japan and Ring of Honor, not known for the characters.
Usually it's just wrestling base, and we're trying to change that with our characters and with guys like Dalton Castle. Like, it needs a variety.
Right.
The show needs a variety because it used to, like you were saying, it just wrestling base.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need that act. We need a variety act there because we want to grow as a company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we need. And I feel like our element and Dalton Castle's element to the show has
the Briscoe Brothers.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I've seen their matches, but I haven't seen
their characters.
They do a lot of promos and stuff.
Think of Cactus Jack like as a tag team.
Yeah.
Someone told me they're like chicken farmers from Delaware.
That's
true?
A shoot, yeah.
And that's you know, and it comes from a real place. It's real.
Yeah.
These guys come out there, and that's really them, and that's why people love it.
And it works.
Because it's legit.
Legit, you know. So,
do you guys do a lot of promos in Ring of Honor? Is that
not,
part
not
of
as much.
Okay.
Not as much as you would think, like as you would watch on a Monday night or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
not many people do promos there. Right. It's
more wrestling driven still.
And they only have one title matches or something. It's just more like you got this great team and this great team.
They'll do video packages for that where we can do promos and stuff like that.
Yes.
But they only have 1 hour of shows a week,
right.
So it's like they need to get as much wrestling in as possible because that's what they're best at, I guess.
We've been doing more of the in-ring stuff, like on the house shows to close out the shows, because we're usually like the main event or around the main event. So we'll send the fans home happy with a good baby face goodbye promo type of thing. So we're doing more of that type of stuff.
Which is cool.
But like you said, an hour isn't a lot of
they're
time.
They're limited So we don't have that chance. We'll pretty much talk into the camera as much as we could and stuff like that.
That's one big thing we picked up in Japan, talking about the difference of the styles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it gets really quiet out there, right? Like, it's just the way it is. So the camera's always in our faces. So we've taken it to the point now where we're just cutting promos into the camera during our entrances. It's like, well, why not? Like,
smart.
Because there's people at home watching this on Japan World.
Yeah.
They know what we're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe these people don't.
Yeah. I had Booker T on the show just a few weeks ago. He said the same thing. When they first started in WCW, they didn't get a lot of promo time. So somebody, maybe it was Sid or maybe it was Dusty, was like, listen, you don't get promo time. You have 30 seconds going to the ring.
Yep. Yeah.
Talk
so
your promo.
True.
I remember seeing, they're always talking shit.
Yes, you're right.
And that's why someone told them that's your promo time.
Yeah,
so there you go. It's actually a smart thing.
A couple of shows now, like I'll plug my Pro Wrestling Tees shop.
Like you're about to right now.
On the way, / Young Bucks. I'm doing it on the way to the ring. Like,
yeah.
Like, why not?
I remember at the Tokyo Dome 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I go down to Matt Stryker.
We made our entrance.
I go down to Matt Stryker, and he's in the middle of calling the thing. I go up to his gear, and I said, hey, can you get a quick plug for my ProWrestlingTees.com/YoungBucks? He's like, yeah, sure enough. I watch it back, and he gets it in there. Oh, cool.
I just heard today that Jim Ross is going to be doing commentary. commentary.
Yeah.
Yep.
That must be pretty cool for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a big thing.
He's great at what he does.
No, for sure.
To this day.
He did the last Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, last year.
And it was fun to hear him say Super Kick Party, Meltzer Driver.
Super Kick Party?
Yeah.
Super Kick Party, good Lord.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
A little bit.
A few questions left. Did you guys ever work against the Hardys?
Yeah.
Yes.
A few times now.
Okay, like on indie shows?
3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Man, where did
we... NEW, which is
just
an indie.
Some indie shows.
How was, at a baseball stadium.
How was that?
It's great.
It was better than I thought they would be. We went 30 minutes the first time we worked with them, and I couldn't believe how much energy these guys still have. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I knew they were great. I'm a huge one of the biggest Hardys mark there is, but like when I was in the ring with them, I told them after, I'm not just saying this. I said, you guys are the best tag team I've ever been in the ring with. Like,
wow.
Cause you guys get the things that
the
no
little
other
team
gets. The it's like the seasoned veteran stuff, the calling audibles. Like, yep. I was just listening to them. That's stuff like we don't do as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even before we even locked up, I'm talking about the getting the crowd amped up just for you to throw your T-shirt in the audience. And
right.
How do we, then they look like at us for us to react off of that. And then we react. Then they react off that.
And
like,
we were,
I'm not used to that.
We were the heels that night, so we were putting a heat on Matt Hardy, and I just couldn't believe how much wind he had. He kept getting up.
He's got some fire now.
God, this guy has much
wind. That's the thing, like you said, it's interesting to hear you say that, and I'm glad you picked up on it, because you're talking about guys that have worked. I mean, you know, there's a WWE style.
Yes. Yeah.
And the style is waiting and milking every last drop out of everything you do. Stay down. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Mm-hmm. And when you get to experience that, you realize as good as it is, it can get that much better just
true.
By waiting.
That's what that is. And I thought I had an ear for the crowd. Mm-hmm. I didn't, after that match, I realized, wow, man, I really don't yet. Like, I'm still learning. Like, and we're all still learning.
All of us still learning.
I realized how much better those guys were than me. I'm like, man, it blew me away. Like, I want to be that good one day.
And maybe not better just in understanding the ebb and flow of the crowd. And like I said, how to milk. Like,
better performers.
Right. That's one thing I love about working with a lot of the guys you mentioned. I worked with Neville in Japan. I worked with Finn. And I worked with Owens quite a bit. And we do something. And it's like, stay down. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. And I can see he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're right.
Just stay down. Trust me.
Because you know they're going to come.
Suddenly some chant starts or whatever.
Yep.
And then after he's like, I never knew.
True.
And it's like, I never knew either.
Yeah.
10 years ago when I started working with Shawn Michaels.
It's hard to have patience sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, we want to rush everything.
Yeah. You do. Because that's why if you had somebody in there, like you said, you're over. Mm-hmm. You don't have to rush. They're going to be there and they're going to come. And when you start getting that vibe, like I said, that's the real beauty of what wrestling is all about. And then you throw in some really cool moves and have some fun. But I just love the element of just sitting there and doing nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Just standing there as a heel, waiting as a baby face or whatever it may be. You know, and that's... That's cool that you guys got a chance to experience.
Yeah, we got to work them 3 times,
and we
learned stuff
Wrestled
every
at
time.
Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, that's
Philly.
Right. We tore it up with
ECW
those.
Arena.
We got
that's
to work the Dudley
match.
Boys a few times, too.
I was going
to
say.
It was kind of cool to wrestle these teams that we grew up
totally
watching.
Totally different styles, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
well, Dudley's a little bit more brawler,
more
tough. Yeah,
and that's exactly what we did, and it was fun.
We had an 8-minute brawl with the Dudleys. It's one of my favorite matches ever.
Well, once again, knowing how to milk everything and knowing how to just put things in the right places.
Brilliant. At calling a hardcore match.
It's fun wrestling people that are better than you.
Yep.
And it's like for us, like it's hard.
Doesn't happen too often where you're working.
Exactly.
Right now.
Like there isn't many above us.
We've been teaming for 12 years now. We've
as
been
a team.
Wow, you just get good with experience.
Sure. Exactly. So to wrestle a team that's better than us, it helps us just learn so much more.
Well, it helps us get to the next level.
Exactly,
Yeah. How is it you guys travel together, obviously?
Oh, yeah.
How is it being in a team with your brother?
I see him more than my wife. It's crazy. But you know what? We'd never fight, which is
a rare
thing. Never fight.
Yeah.
We might disagree on how to put something together during
a
match.
That's when we fight the most, I think, is when we're calling a match.
Because we're
talking about
it. But you know what?
Totally
it's because we're so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's cool about it.
Most of the time, like, we agree on everything.
No,
I have to say, as far as
but there's
goes.
Certain things that no, it should go here. That last super kick should go here.
whose opinion takes precedent?
Man,
I don't know. It's pretty even. Yeah. Sometimes if I'm defeated, I'm fighting. I'll just take it to him.
I'm sometimes very stubborn, so I'm like, no, Matt. I know that the fans are gonna go with this version. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. It's pretty mutual.
As similar as we are, though, we're so different too. The way we think, also, like even in a business sense, like. Nick is the athlete of the team. Like, I could do a lot of cool stuff, too, but he's obviously he's better than us.
Yeah.
But like, as far as like the business stuff, like I'll design the T-shirts and I'll do all that stuff, and I'll come up with these catchphrases,
the gear,
and this thing. I design the gear. But then, as far as the in-ring work, he's the man. Like, I can't touch him. Like, you know what I mean?
Once again, there's such a parallel with Matt and Jeff,
because
you just described Matt and Jeff. Yeah. Matt does all that stuff, and Jeff does all
that's what's crazy,
that sort of stuff as well. Is there any teams that you haven't worked with that you want to get in the ring with in a dream?
New Day would be cool.
I think we would tear it up with those guys.
Good. I know that
maybe one day it'll happen.
When TJ Tyson and Cesaro
we
great team, man.
We got to work Rey Mysterio, which was awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah,
who was Rey with?
Alberto Del Rio.
One of those moments where we learned so much.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yep. Because we went.
Oh yeah. Rey's one of the best.
We did a handshake spot that lasted like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You guys in Mexico?
No, we were just at some New York kids there.
That's a great match. I'd get to see that.
We were at a New York random like stadium. It was like 3,000-4,000 people, so it was a good house.
Is it a Mike? What's his name? Mike. Can't remember. There's a promoter out there who draws.
It was NEW.
What's his name?
I can't be mad at me now. Mike, we know who you are. He always draws good crowds, like up in the Poughkeepsie.
Exactly. Yes, that's the guy. Yeah, exactly.
Jerry Lawler's always on the show.
Yes.
Mike O'Hare, Mike O'Collins. Mike, what the hell's your name, Mike?
What is it, Matt?
You
always deal with him.
And will there ever be a chance that you'll go to the WWE? Do you have that option open?
You know what? Yeah, man, let's just say if we didn't sign a contract with Ring of Honor and New Japan 3 months ago, I think
you might be walking in there.
Really?
Soon.
Yeah. So did you ever have more feelers from them?
We've talked, but nothing like business wise.
Nothing concrete. It's just been talk. It's never been an actual, hey, here's an offer, come work with us. It's been more or less, hey, here's a tryout, want to come do this? Sorry, it's never worked out.
Like, but you know, after what? By the way, it was Michael Bryan.
Michael Bryan.
I had Rick on the phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Michael Hare.
Sorry,
Mike
buddy.
Irish and Michael Bryan. He always runs good shows. So if you're in the area, go check out his shows, NEW. But I mean, you're talking about like what just happened with AJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when AJ left TNA, he said there really wasn't much interest. Then he goes and totally kills it. And everyone's talking about AJ Styles.
Yep.
Suddenly, the big leagues sniff him out. I'm sure that you're on their radar as well.
I could see it. Like, if you would ask me a couple of years ago, I would have said, like, I doubt it. Like, now with all this stuff happening, the business changing, I could see it definitely happening now in the future, maybe in a year or two.
But even if it doesn't, I'm so content with what we're doing now because I'm having so much fun.
And we're making, like, main roster guy money.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We have a lighter schedule.
That's what I was going to say much less of a schedule.
Yeah. You know? And my wife's loving it now that we signed this contract because I'm home more. Your wife's obviously more happy.
The kids are happy.
You know? But if we want to become celebrities, you know what I mean? We would have to go there.
Yeah.
We're
celebrities in Japan, but we're not where we live. Like we'll get recognized every once in a while out where we live in the U.S., but it's not every day. Like, we could. But what's more important, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It comes down to if I want to be happy or...
That's the most important thing,
right?
You know, that you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Last question, what's your favorite match that you ever had?
Oh, man.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
If you had to pick one or a couple of them.
Definitely one of the ones with the Hardys, probably. Like,
yeah,
it was
for
a
sure.
An eye-opener for me.
Because it was like a dream come true, actually, you know what I mean? Like, I literally didn't think it would ever happen. So to actually do it...
I can't really pick one, but our body of work with Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I don't know. We had a really fun one with Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae that like people really seemed to enjoy.
Do they work as a tag team?
Yeah.
Because that's like his girlfriend or his wife or whatever.
No, they're just
How do they do that?
I don't know.
If for some reason it's worked.
It works. They compliment each other.
We had a bloody brawl with them once at PWG that's on YouTube somewhere, and it was one of my favorite matches of all time, which We made the girl bleed. Well, she chose to bleed. I was against it again.
Right.
That was something I was totally against.
You got far too good of a heart for this business, Nick.
This guy was completely out for it.
That's like, let her bleed.
Well, I had a shoe that I super glued thumbtacks on the bottom of, and I super kicked her in the face.
Oh,
yeah. My parents aren't too happy with me about that.
Yeah,
The one match that I told Matt, I said, in 15 years, our little girls are going to watch that on YouTube and say, Daddy, why did you do that? this to this poor girl?
Well, let me explain.
And we're going to try to just have to say, hey, listen, we're actors sometimes.
Yeah,
and
that
this
college
is what...
education you got, that's basically why.
Exactly.
What's the other guy's name? Is Joey Ryan?
Joey Ryan.
Is Joey Ryan the guy who like did like he grabbed some guy's cock and ripped it off?
And you know what's funny? We just did a spot with him at PWG that was hilarious. Matt went for a super kick on Joey's penis.
He grabbed it, put it down there.
And his penis held him.
Essentially the same spot.
So, and the penis makes you, like, it grabs
you. It's like grabbing onto my foot.
Yeah. Some guy grabbed his nuts and he was like, oh, my hand.
Yeah.
Cornette loved that one, too.
Oh, sure,
The next night we got revenge. He caught Matt's penis again, but I super kicked him in the face, and then I grabbed thumbtacks, put him down his trunks, and we double super kicked Joey's penis.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Oh, that's great. Pro wrestling guys, what are we able to make a living, right?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Great having you guys, man. Thanks for having us. You guys and Cheeseburger are my favorite guys.
He's cool, man. He's getting a little cult following.
I know. I told him he'd do great in Japan, and he went over there and did.
And you know what? Cork and Hall was cheering his name.
Cheeseburger. Oh, that's great. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks to Matt and Nick, the Young Bucks, for the great conversation. Get in on the Super Kick Party on Ring of Honor. It's going to be this weekend. It's the 14th anniversary of ROH. Winner takes all, Friday, February 26th, live on pay-per-view from Las Vegas. You can find out all information on ROH.com, on the Twitter, everywhere else that you get your ROH news. You're gonna not want to miss this one. It sounded like Yosemite Sam. That wasn't even Yosemite Sam. Who's the character in Looney Tunes that says, is that Foghorn Leghorn? Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn is what it sounded like. Anyways, go in, check out the Super Kick Party on Ring of Honor, at Ring of Honor this Friday. And don't forget New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV starting next month. Young Bucks will be all over that. And congratulations as well to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega from Winnipeg, like I said. Never even met this guy. I'm going to have to get him on Talk as Jericho at some point. They are now known as the Elite. They defeated Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, and Toru Yano to win the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championship at Honor Rising Japan 2016. I think plus the Young Bucks just challenged New Day on YouTube. Go Google Young Bucks New Day on YouTube. Maybe they'll get maybe Matt and Nick will get a trumpet. Or an oboe, or a French horn. You got to get something to combat Francesca too. That evil trombone. I was able to dispatch the first one, but it still survives. But anyways, if you're looking for the Young Bucks DVDs, we talked about the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Battle of Los Angeles 2015, or how about the Young Bucks Too Sweet Journey? You can find them on Amazon, and please use the Talk Is Jericho Amazon links when you purchase. You can find them all at podcast1.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, the UK, the Canada. Every time you use the Talk Is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon will kick back a small percentage to this show to help us cover the production costs. Now you can buy anything you want on Amazon, and if you buy something using the Talk Is Jericho links, post a picture of it on the Twitter at Talk Is Jericho, and I will retweet it and I'll follow you. I want to see what kind of stuff all the Talk Is Jericho fanatics are buying on Amazon. Once again, podcast1.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. All of my great sponsors are there, too. You got easy access to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and the DDP Yoga Now app. You're going to want to use this. Don't forget nuts.com for healthy snacks. Very tasty. Use the promo code Jericho. Get 4 free samples. Go to True Car. Buy a new car, just like I did. Go to Guitar Center. Buy a guitar like I did for my son Ash a few months ago. All of these sponsors I believe in, and I use them, and I wouldn't have them on if I didn't feel that way. So thank you for listening. Thanks to Young Bucks. Keep listening right now for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And on Friday, we got a good show coming up for you. Anthrax's new record, For All Kings, is coming out. And Charlie Benanti, founding member of Anthrax, is here. We're not going to talk about the new Anthrax record, though. We're going to talk about our mutually favorite band, the Beatles. He's a huge Beatles fan, and we're going to analyze our favorite Beatles records. Okay, track by track, talking about the Beatles on the eve of the new Anthrax album. Who influenced Charlie when he writes for Anthrax? The Beatles. And we're going to be talking about our favorite Beatles records, track by track. It's Beatles Benanti this Friday. You're going to love it, so stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. Oh, yeah, yeah, boy. Yeah, yeah, boy. Yeah, 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 boy. We'll see you on Friday.
You can download new episodes of Talk Is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
Five seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha F335 acoustic guitar, just $99. Or get a Luna Soprano ukulele, only $49. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing. Lessons for the beginner on your list. And gift cards, the perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.